Good morning, everybody. I'm happy to take this minute to welcome you here to the Augusta Road Church of Christ, where we love having you. We love having this time to come together and worship God. And as hopefully you've already noticed, we do so with a high degree of attention to detail to what God wants. As great as we are as folks and as much as we love one another, we know that all of this could be vain if we don't do it in the way that God wants it to be done. So thank you so much for joining us and participating as you have in this worship service. This morning in the sermon part of our worship together, I have something that I need to warn you about. I have a real danger that I need to alert you to. If I knew that somebody was going to show up at your house tonight to break in and steal all your stuff, your TV, your valuables, that kind of stuff, what would you want me to let you know? I'm sitting here knowing that someone's going to come in and break in and steal all this stuff that you like. You would want a bit of a tip-off. Well, that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about something, if you can imagine, that's even much more important than someone breaking in and taking all of your things. I'm talking about robbers, thieves, who will come and take away, potentially, if you let them, take away your joy and happiness as a Christian. Our scripture reading this morning was from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 12. Psalm 51, 12 finds David saying, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Now, to be completely fair and even-handed with the words that David's speaking here, David's talking about his salvation as a whole. David was a man who was wandering away from God, and as such, he was in a pitiful condition, and he wanted his salvation in whole to be given back to him. He was coming back to the Lord in repentance and in submission. David's situation is much more serious than just the regular melancholies or discouragements that we may face as Christians. Still, this is true, though. The Lord wants us to be happy as His Christian people. The Lord wants you to be happy. I know what some of you may be thinking. Whenever you hear that statement, or oftentimes when you hear that statement, I don't want to pretend that this happens all the time, but frequently when you hear a preacher say, "The Lord wants you to be happy," there is a false doctrine of some kind lurking around the corner. And usually it goes something like this. Again, not always, but often. Somebody will say, "Hey, you know, the Lord wants you to be happy, and you being baptized would make you so unhappy in your family. So don't worry about being baptized." That's not what I'm saying. That's what some folks say. "The Lord wants you to be happy, so you are happy in this clearly unscriptural relationship that you're in, so go on, stay there, because, after all, the Lord wants you to be happy." Again, not what I'm saying, but what a lot of people say when it comes to the Lord wanting us to be happy. I mean that this morning in the most innocent and benign sense. No false doctrines attached onto that statement in any way, sucking the life out of it. Jesus has come to give us a blessed life. Jesus has come, according to His own words in John chapter 10, verse 10, again, that's John 10, 10. Jesus came to give us an abundant life, a life that is above just the base model of living, a life that has some happiness in it, a life that has some joy attached to it. And even though that's the life that Jesus wants us to live, a happy, joy-filled life, relatively speaking, there are some thieves to this joy. Some thieves that we need to point out and identify and talk about this morning and be ready to push out of our lives if they come trying to take away some of our joy. Number one, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think is a thief of our joy. You find these familiar words in Romans 12, verse 3, Romans 12, 3, where Paul says that we ought not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And doing so, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, is oftentimes what happens right before we get depressed and down in the dumps and gloomy and our joy begins to fade away. Listen, you are very special to God. God loves you so much. I don't mean to gloss over that in any way, shape, or form. The Lord loves you so much that He gave Jesus to die. And I believe this, as many preachers before me have stated, if you were the only one here for Jesus to die for, I believe the Lord loves you individually, personally, so much that Jesus would have died just for you if that would have been the way it broke down. Now, Jesus died for all of us, but God loves each of us. And you are valuable to God, precious to God. You are so special to God. But I also need to tell you this. As special as you are, as valuable as you are, as much as we love you, as much as God loves you, there's so much more to this world than just you and your feelings. As much as the Lord loves you, as much as we, for Christ's sake, love you, we have to do more than just consider your feelings on everything. It is a terrible thing that happens when somebody thinks that his way or her way is the only way it should be. That's a terrible thing that happens. And it happens so often, you know, and it is a joy thief. Because here we are wanting to please the Lord, and we've got to worry, well, I wonder how so-and-so will react to this. Or you personally, maybe this is the way it happens. Maybe you personally feel like you weren't consulted. Your feelings weren't paid attention to. And so it gets you personally down in the dumps. Don't let it happen. Just close the door and lock it and don't let this thief come in and take your joy. You're precious. You're valuable. You're special. But there's a whole lot of us in here, and we cannot take any one of us and say, okay, we're going to put him or her up there on that pedestal and make sure her feelings never, ever, 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 ever get hurt. Make sure his feelings never, ever, 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 ever get hurt. We can't do that. It's not practical. And this is not just a church phenomenon, I'll have you to know. Politics and social commentary is not usually my beat. I don't cover that. But there are a group of people who feel like their way should always be given. And their feelings are paramount. And if you do anything to offend them, how dare you? We don't want to be like that. That is not a happy life. Looking at life as though you're the center of the universe and everything that everybody else is doing somehow or another kind of relates and factors into you. Oh man, you'll be miserable. I'm telling you right now, if that's the way you look at life, if that's the way you look at this church, you'll be miserable because you'll find things that aren't there. You know, if this is what happens, you know, you put yourself as the center of everything, you think more highly of yourself and your feelings and your wants and your preferences. You think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Well, then suddenly you take everything personally. And everything that everybody does is being done against you because in your mind, you're the center of it all. You will be miserable. I don't want you to be miserable, which is why I'm telling you about this joy thief right here. If you let him, he'll come right into your mind and whisper in your head that everybody's out to get you. Everybody's doing what they're doing because they don't like you. When in truth, that's not the way it's happening at all. People are just going about doing their own things. And you have made yourself the center of everything. Therefore, when people do something innocent, harmless, you take that very personally. Paul says, don't do that. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You're special. You're precious. You're valuable to God. But there's a whole lot of other people just like us that make up this congregation, that make up our brotherhood at large. In Romans 15:1, Paul gives the antidote to this. Paul says, we ought to prefer the feelings of others. How about that for a change? We ought to think about others and not just to please ourselves. Number two, a big thief to your joy and happiness is a lack of contentment. A lack of contentment. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:6 that contentment with godliness is great gain. The ability just to be satisfied, not complacent, but the ability to be satisfied is a precious commodity. In Philippians 4:11, again, that's Philippians 4:11. Paul says that he had to teach himself this helpful resource of contentment. And Paul had to rewire his brain and figure it out so that he could be content in whatever state he was in. A lot of times Paul was in prison. He found a way, Paul found a way to be happy in prison. Oftentimes Paul was rejected by people. He was hated. He preached and they heard his word and they rejected his word. Holy Spirit wasn't operating on anybody in this scenario. Paul preached the inspired word of God. And people heard this inspired word of God and they said, get him. There he is. Get him. Throw him under the jail. We can't stand that. Paul found a way in his mind to be content. We need to figure out a way that we can be content, happy, at peace with everything that's going on around us. Because if we lack this contentment, I don't know if the word is uncontent or discontent. So you just have to let me work around that one. If we lack this contentment in our life, we're going to be extremely miserable. And if we don't find or create, the secret is this peace is not something that you find. This peace, this happiness is not something that you discover. This is something that you make for yourself. Paul wasn't suddenly one day just out doing his apostle thing and then found happiness. No, 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 no. You don't find this happiness. You don't discover it. You manifest it. You create it because you're all right with God. And that ought to make everything better. Better. The best is yet to come in heaven. But the fact that you are all right with God, if you are all right with God, ought to make everything better, okay, content in your life. I love my cell phone. I've told you about my cell phone. I've told you how much I love my cell phone. But, man, I saw a commercial of a brand new cell phone. And it folds up, and it opens up real big. And it's got cameras every which way on it, cameras that face you, cameras that face away from you. It doesn't have a home button. It's so smart, it knows what you want to do before you do it. And this cell phone that I love, now, it's the last year's model of cell phone. I need something new. I need something better. You know what that is? That's a thief breaking in the door of your mind, stealing your happiness. I was pretty satisfied with what I had for dinner last night. Thank you very much. Until I got on Facebook and saw what somebody else had for dinner last night, and then I was thinking, man, my dinner wasn't as good as their dinner. I'm pretty happy with the house that I live in. Give or take, I'd be happier if I had a man cave. So I get on Facebook and I see somebody who's got a man cave, and then all of a sudden the house that I'm pretty happy with and very thankful for, that's just not as good anymore. Pretty happy with my life until I get on Facebook and see somebody else's life. They say that comparison is the thief of joy. Paul says, contentment with godliness is great gain. There are a couple of ways you can be rich in this world. Two ways for you to be rich. Write this down, kids. Number one, you can have all the money to buy all the things. And that'll make you rich. Have all the money to buy all the things. Or number two, you can value the things that you have and be fulfilled and satisfied with the things that you have. I want y'all to know something about Facebook and Instagram. We're on Facebook right now, as a matter of fact. I love Facebook and Instagram. When you see someone's Facebook or Instagram, you are seeing what they want you to see. It may not even be truly reflective of reality. You're seeing what they want you to see. And you will be miserable if you compare yourself to that idyllic image all the time. So don't do it. That is a robber, a thief of your joy. Lack of contentment makes people miserable. Lack of contentment makes people worry, makes anxiety creep up in people, makes depression creep up in people. Be happy. Be happy. It's not something that you find. It's not something that somebody else can give you. Happiness, joy, contentment is something that you create. So get busy making it, and then you'll always have it. Number three, a thief to your joy. Hypersensitivity and criticism. You know, there are some people who aren't happy unless they're pulling somebody else down. And so they do their best to just pull people down all the time. Some people are not happy unless they're gossiping about others or spreading gossip about others. Do you really think the Beam brother, that's what I called him in my notes, Matthew 7:3-5, you really think the brother who had the big old beam out of his eye, do you think that he was happy? He's the guy with the great big old beam out of his eye who says, come here, brother, let me get this tiny little speck out of your eye. You think he was happy? No, he wasn't happy. He wanted to point out the fault of others. And that's not the way happy people act. What about the prodigal son's brother? The prodigal son is famous. His brother is infamous. The prodigal son runs off, takes his inheritance early, goes and wastes his money on righteous living, the Bible says. Then he comes back, where he is warmly greeted and received by his father, but not his brother. Because the prodigal son's brother was so nitpicky and whiny and comparing, you gave him a golden ring. You gave him new clothes. You had the fatted calf killed for him. You know, here's a guy for whom it's much too easy to keep these sorts of scores. This prodigal son's brother was awfully ready to rattle off all the things that his brother got that he didn't get. He was awfully quick to say, here's all the ways that I've been wronged. Here's everything that's not fair that's happening to me. He was way too quick with that list ready to go. And there are a lot of people just like him today who you have a Coca-Cola with or a cup of coffee with, and it's not long after you talk about football and the weather before they're ready to give you their list of all the things that all the people have done wrong to them. And they keep that list handy, and it's in the front of their mind. I've been in discussions with people who will dredge up the past 10 years, 5 years if they need to get everybody covered who's done something wrong to them. Those aren't happy people, y'all. Those are not happy people. The scorekeepers, the people who are hypersensitive and hypercritical, they're not happy. This son who stayed at his father's house, he was not a happy guy, because all he could see was the injustice being done to him and how unfairly he was being treated. And his mind played tricks on him. His daddy was just loving his brother the way a dad should love his brother. His dad was given the tough task, I can tell you as a parent, and you know as a parent, how challenging it is to parent your different children with their different needs in effective ways. You can't do the same thing for everybody, because the same thing doesn't work for everybody. And you have to be smart and deductive enough as a parent to know, okay, here's the way I need to handle this situation with this child. Here's the way I need to handle this situation with this child. And I'm not trying to make the local congregation sound like a daddy-kid situation, but that same thing is what elders have to do. They can't do the same thing in every single case, because the same thing might not work in every single case. You have to read this situation and then read this situation and notice the subtle, or maybe not so subtle, nuances in each. And it's hard. The scorekeepers have the easy job of just sitting on the sideline somewhere doing nothing but saying, "Hey, hey, 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 you did this to him, and you didn't do this to him. She got this, but she didn't get that. It's not fair." Don't fall for it. You're better than that. You're smarter than that. That is a thief pounding in the door of your heart, trying to take your joy. Don't let it happen. The Pharisees were infamous for doing this kind of garbage. The Pharisees were so nitpicking and hypercritical and word parsing and law parsing that they had the whole system rigged where nobody could do right in their eyes. The deck was stacked against everybody. Sooner or later, you were going to do something wrong to a Pharisee. They were going to see to it. And they were not nitpicking about doctrine. A false doctrine this morning did not make my list of joy thieves. It could be on the list of joy thieves. False doctrine could be. But you know, the answer to false doctrine is so simple. The answer to false doctrine is so simple. Read your Bible. Love your Bible. Pat the Bible like the little kids are taught to do. And don't give ear to any false doctrine. That won't make false doctrine go away, but that'll keep false doctrine out of your business. That will keep false doctrine from stealing your joy. Just love the Bible and the sound doctrine that it teaches. And thankfully, we'll never have to be depressed or negatively impacted in a major way by false doctrine. The Pharisees were not nitpicking doctrine. No, not at all. They could care less about doctrine. That's the bad news. The Pharisees were nitpicking their preferences and their ways. Matthew 15:9 famously says they were binding for doctrine the commandments of men. So they had the whole thing rigged against you so that you would do something wrong. Sooner or later, they would see to it, you would do something wrong. They were such wordsmiths and lawsmiths and just harsh judges of everyone's actions. And those kind of people are miserable. Take a look at the Pharisees as they're presented to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do they seem like happy guys and gals? Do the Pharisees seem happy to you? No! No! Because all they ever did was look for a way they could be offended. And then if you apologized for that, they would find something wrong with the apology. And then if you apologized for that, they would find something wrong with that apology. "Well, you said this, but I wish you would have said that. Or I wish you would have said it in this way. Or, yeah, you apologized, but I had to drag it out of you." And then when you apologize for that, guess what? They'll find something wrong with that too. So you apologize for that and they find something wrong with that. And on it goes, and they got you. They're not happy. And they're making you unhappy. Those aren't just the Pharisees I'm talking about this morning. Because some of those same people are busy in churches today. Hypersensitivity, hypercriticism, is a thief of your joy. Looking at every situation to see how it wrongs you, to see how it hurts your feelings, to see how it's unfair to you, that will make you miserable. Some people might even look at a sermon like this and see everything they don't like about it. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? We're talking about finding ways, making ways that we keep ourselves happy and sane and at peace in a world that is as messed up as ours. Counting your blessings is one way to add joy to your life. Counting your blessings literally adds to your spiritual bottom line. Imagine if there's something I could tell you to do that would add to your financial bottom line. Would you be interested? A lot of people are. Not counting your blessings, not opening your eyes and seeing what God has given you and being thankful for that is a joy thief. The answer is simple. Count those blessings. Know that peace and happiness is not something that you find. It's not something that somebody else gives you. No one's going to give you peace. No one's going to give you happiness. Who can do that but God in heaven? Happiness and peace and joy are things that you create by living the Lord's way, by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, so that you can be at peace with God. And if you're at peace with God, who cares? If you're at peace with God, everything else will be okay. We love the people of planet Earth, but we're only in control of our soul here. We can only really control the thoughts, the opinions, the actions of one person, and that's us, ourselves. So make sure that you're right with God. Make sure that you're right with God, and literally everything else will take care of itself. This morning, make sure that you're right with God. If we can help you, we're here for you. While we stand and sing, won't you come, please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.